Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for your patience this morning. If you'd like to stand right here, that'd be fine. Okay. We are gathered here this morning. Oops, and I want to thank you for your presence being here today as well. Thank you so much. I just came back from a wonderful tour over at the Informed Choices Clinic, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But what I would first like to be able to say is my name is Michelle Bachman. I want to thank you for your patience in being here. I'm running for the Republican nomination for the presidency for 2012. And in the midst of what we know will be the number one issue for this campaign this year, it will be how can we best turn the economy around quickly so that the American economy is thriving again, and how best can we create jobs again in this country. I've given my background both as a federal tax litigation attorney in my work dealing with the economy, but also as a job creator. My husband and I have created jobs in our local community. As much as that will be and is and should be the focus of this election, this week we've been focusing on another issue that we can't forget in the midst of the talk about jobs in the economy, and it's the issue of human life and standing up for and protecting and defending human life. I have been a strong supporter of the pro-life cause throughout my life. My husband and I have been involved really since we've been about 19 years of age. And this morning I had the real privilege of being a part of a very positive story here in our local community in Des Moines. And it's great to be here. And we've been focusing on this issue of life and of the family. And I'm joined on the stage today by Jenny Condon, and she is from the Informed Choices Medical Clinic. And Jenny kindly extended an invitation to me to tour their brand new clinic that opened on June 5th of this year. And the reason why I wanted to go is because they have put together a model that meets the needs of women here in this local community, and men as well, who find themselves in unplanned pregnancies. My husband and I were involved informally in trying to reach out to young women who were in unplanned pregnancies when we were young marrieds. And we did that on our own informally to reach out and try to counsel women. We would drive them to local pro-life centers to try and offer them options as well. And I also went through childbirth classes with women and held their hand as they gave birth to babies in our local community and hospitals. But we were just interested people who cared. We weren't a part of the organization that has been established here in Des Moines. This is a satellite organization from an organization that comes out of Iowa City. And I want to give an opportunity for those who are part of this wonderful story to be able to talk about it today. Jenny Condon is the head of the Informed Choices Medical Clinic, but she's also joined by Brad Sherman, who's from Solid Rock Church in Coralville. And all of these people are working together as parts of a whole. It isn't just a standalone clinic. They're also working together with local pastors, and not just one pastor, many pastors, to try and be a part of the long-term solution of helping women and men stand on their own two feet and integrate into the community as they make their choices about going forward. The motto of the clinic is strength through life's tough choices. And they're part of a faith outreach to pastors, which is ongoing. This is a very important community that is coming together. And I had a chance to speak also with a representative from the Knights of Columbus. It isn't just one church. It isn't just Protestant churches. It's also Catholic churches. It's people who are also bringing cash donations coming together. In other words, it is the faith community that is coming together. Not about anyone's in particular church, but about all of the churches coming together and bringing their resources to bear. As I spoke with the Knights of Columbus this morning, they told me that they brought everything together from raising money to purchase a sonogram, or what some people call an ultrasound machine, to as well also bringing labor together to actually put money together to build this clinic and to put lights into the clinic and paint the walls and bring in new furniture and bring in a welcoming environment for women. We saw that part of the story. We saw local doctors who volunteer their time, local nurses who volunteer their time to help give a medical decision to women so that they can actually see their baby and see their baby's heartbeat and see their baby move on screen for the first time. And then they can make an informed choice about whether or not they want to bring this child to full term. But the story doesn't end there. The story continues on through the outreach of local families and local pastors and local churches that welcome women into their congregations and do everything from buy a car to help find a home, to help find a job, to help find families, to help love and care for women and for their children. It's a beautiful story. And in the middle of dealing with jobs and the economy, we don't want to forget humanity and women who are suffering and men who are suffering and little children who we hope to welcome into this community. So with that, I'd like to invite Jenny Condon to come forward, the director of Informed Choices Medical Clinic, to talk about this wonderful positive alternative that is working so well in this community. Jenny?
Thank you for having me. Our clinic has been open since the beginning of June. We started the process actually a year and a half ago when I went to Iowa City and visited the clinic over there. And it was through a relationship that I built with Rachel, the executive director of the organization, that helped us bring this clinic to Des Moines. We just started talking about the need. Here we have 500,000 people in this city. And there's a need for reaching out to these women who are suffering and hurting. And so since we've been open in June, we've seen up around between 40 and 50 people. We've seen 9 women who came into the clinic and had abortion on their mind, who were scared. These are women who are 17, in our clinic that we've seen so far, 17 to about 26, 28 years old. We've even had a couple of married women who are scared. And once they came in and we were able to love them and talk to them about this life that's growing within them and how this baby is growing and nurturing off of her body, we talk to her, we give her a decision tool that we walk her through, and she finds the empowerment really within herself to make the decision that's best for her. And by the time she leaves, she has learned more about her body and more about the development of that baby than she's ever known, even those that have had children in the past. They see an ultrasound as early as 7 weeks, and we can show her that she's got a baby with a heartbeat within her. And it's just so overwhelmingly terrific to see them come in, and they're sad, they're scared, they're alone, they're abandoned. And by the time they leave, they've heard us tell them, we care about you, you can do this, we will help whatever we have to do. And by the time they leave, you can just feel the lightness in their step. You can just see it. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. We're blessed to have this clinic in Des Moines, and we provide them with pregnancy test, counseling, ultrasound. We even do STD testing for men and women. And I'll tell you what, there's an epidemic in this town, and these people don't have the education that they deserve to have. And so when they come into the clinic, we give them intense education on sexually transmitted diseases and the exposure that they have put themselves in, and we talk to them about the dangers and the risks that they're taking, and they are extremely grateful. So I'm blessed to be a part of this. The Holy Spirit has led me to this work, and thank you very much.
Jenny, thank you for the important work that you're doing through Informed Choices and for the community that is donating money and time and effort and expertise to give a positive alternative to women and men in crisis. But it also couldn't be done without the faith community. I think oftentimes there aren't enough stories that are done on the faith community here in the Des Moines area. We have a very strong faith community that has reached out, not just here in Des Moines, but also up in Iowa City. And they've not contented themselves just to stay within the confines of the church. They are reaching out to the local community to see how they can be a help and a positive answer to women who find themselves in need. And I have Brad Sherman here. He is not the only pastor that is doing this. We also have pastors behind me who also are strongly in favor of helping in the pro-life community. And I'm so grateful for their presence here on stage as well. Without this, with this faithful community of churches strengthening our local area, this would not be a possibility to be able to reach out and help. And so I would like to invite now Brad Sherman. And again, Brad is the pastor of the Solid Rock Church in Coralville, just to share a little bit one of the stories that he has worked on in conjunction with Jenny and the beautiful work that's done with Informed Choices Medical Clinic.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that we've tried to incorporate into this clinic is that, well, the services are free. And we say that this ultrasound costs a lot of money to have, but there are people who care about you have provided the finances so that you don't have to pay for it. And at the end of the entire process, we try to ask this question, and that is, there's somebody else who cares very much about you as well and about your eternal life, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's paid the price for you. And so we ask them if for the opportunity to share the gospel, and nearly everyone says yes. And what happens then is the opportunity to bring God's truth, God's word, into their hearts, and that's what changes lives. And then we can bring them into the church. There's one young lady that we've helped that's become a very special to us, and she's had her baby, and we've helped her in the church become mentored on parenting and helped her with her needs. And it's a privilege to see that little baby when she brings him to church. You know, and you know this is a baby that could have been aborted, but now he's got life. And so when we see those things, I can't help but think about the broader aspect of what happens when we're able to share the gospel with these people. You know, I think it was Adams that said, our Constitution was made for a moral and a religious people and is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. What he's talking about is the internal self-government that comes when the law of God is written on men's hearts. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives in people's hearts, they become self-governing. And because of that, we don't need big government to tell us what to do. So that's a concept that brings liberty to our country. Our founding fathers believed that. And I know Michelle Bachman believes that. And that's why I'm so happy to be able to support her and encourage her in what she's doing. So that's just one story about how the broader work of these clinics can spread. So thank you again for the opportunity to share that.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Jamie Strickler with Word of Life Lutheran Church in Fairfield, Iowa, and we're part of the Lutheran Congregations of Mission for Christ, and we're having our annual gathering in Des Moines, but it's my honor to be here. Jefferson County Right to Life, which is where we live, is just putting on a 40 days of prayer, and the sanctity of a life, you know, it doesn't really matter to me when science says that it becomes a child or when the heart stops beating. The proof to me is that at conception, that child has a soul. The soul given to it, made in the image of God, and therefore it is precious, and it is sanctimonious. And sometimes God gives us challenges in life, challenges that we have to endure. So, however the pregnancy happened, it is not our right to take that life. It's our right to endure and change. And adoption is definitely a great option, and that's of course what our Jefferson County Right to Life promotes. So, it's an honor to be here, Congresswoman. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I want to thank you for your attention and for being here, and it really is a privilege to see the wonderful way that we've seen Protestant and Catholic churches working together, and people who are just concerned about the pro-life cause have been giving money, time, energy, their professional talents, and also a building. One gentleman actually gave the building that they're in so that the organization doesn't even have to pay rent. It's amazing to see how people are coming together to have a positive solution. And again, in the midst of the number one issue, which is jobs and the economy, we don't want to forget the issue of life, because you can get a lot of things wrong, but you can't get life wrong. And that's why in this particular election, it's important that we not settle. We not settle for a candidate who doesn't stand up for life. It's very important that our candidate represent both the pro-life cause and standing up for the sanctity of the family and of the home. And we recognize life isn't perfect. A lot of things don't go well, but we need to make sure that we always have positive alternatives. That's what this clinic represents. In the midst of people's suffering, there are people who care. And that's what we want to do, be a caring people. So thank you for coming today. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them, or any of the people on the stage will be happy to answer as well. Yes. Well, they aren't leaving, number one. We had a plan from the beginning. I came into the race very late in the end of June, and we had a lot of foundation blocks to build the campaign, and they helped us do that. Those people have gone back to my congressional office because now the recess is over, and we're back in the full congressional setting. So they were kind enough to be willing to take a leave of absence and come over and work on the campaign to set it up, and then there was always the expectation that they were going to go back, and that's what they've done. They've gone back, and we've hired other people to take their places here in Iowa. So we've hired new people here and new people in our other campaigns around the country as well. We've been campaigning in New Hampshire, South Carolina, Florida, Iowa. We've been all over. We've been in Arizona, but we have been building our staff up here and hiring new people here. But the people were kind enough to be willing to come for a period of time, but it was always with the expectation that they would be going back. So thank you for asking that question. I hope that clarified it. Any other questions? Yes. It could be. Well, I've spent many Christmases in Iowa growing up here in Iowa, so it won't bother me at all if I have to spend Christmas in Iowa. I'll stay with my relatives, I imagine. But we will be a part of the process. And I think that we probably have a distinct advantage because we've worked extremely hard in Iowa. We've probably been here 75 to 80 days, meeting with people, talking with people, holding rallies and town hall meetings, and we'll continue to do that, press hard here in Iowa. So we'll just work that much harder, and we'll be here, but we think that we have a distinct advantage because of the tremendous support that we had through the straw poll. I was the candidate who won the straw poll in Iowa, and because of all of the foundation that we have laid, again, with the other individuals that we had here laying that foundation earlier in the summer, we have a tremendous advantage in that we've identified a lot of supporters to come out on caucus night. We're grateful that I was the first caucus election in the country, and we think it will be very reflective of where the nation is at. We had to make a decision about where we would be a part of the straw poll. Florida had a straw poll. Iowa had a straw poll. We chose the Iowa straw poll. We did not participate in the Florida straw poll, and the Iowa straw poll is probably the most reflective of an actual primary or general election, because anyone in Iowa can participate in the straw poll. If they have a driver's license, they could participate. So what I saw all across Iowa when we campaigned all summer, we had people who voted for me who were Democrats, who were independents, who were apolitical, in addition to Republicans, because they saw that the country wasn't working for them anymore. And although they may have voted for Obama in 2008, there wasn't a stop that I would go to that people wouldn't come up to me and say, Michelle, I voted for President Obama in 08, but I'm voting for you in this next election. So I think Iowa is very reflective of where the country is at. We won at the straw poll, and we intend to win in the caucus.
Congresswoman?
Yes. Because the issue of life is one that can't be forgotten. It's a very important issue. And as I said in my opening remarks, we all understand the number one issue that people will be voting on in this election will be the economy and jobs, as well as immigration. There's no question that those are the top issues. But in the midst of this, we can't forget the issue of the protection of the most innocent and vulnerable among us, and that's the unborn. And that is not an issue that's been talked about. And that's why I felt that it was important to hold this event this morning. Because in the midst of what will be the number one issue, we can't forget what truly is the foundational issue, which is the right to life. And I have always stood for that right. And as President of the United States, I will stand for life from conception until natural death.
I'd just like to say, as a pastor and as a values voter, I sincerely appreciate the importance that you place on this issue, and it's something that many people in the faith community feel like these kinds of issues get denigrated to a place that it should not be. One of the reasons we're in the economic mess that we're in is because we've lost our moral way as a nation, and I appreciate candidates like Michelle that will put these issues on the forefront for us.
Ultimately, economics, in its most ultimate sense, is an issue of life. And sometimes we forget, where does God come down on this? We want to please the people, but where is the idea that is this all right with God? And I think that Christians hold that in a very high value, and it is very much a determining thing for those who do hold that value. It may not be the majority of the people, but those who do consider that an important issue, it is very much a swing issue. And I think, therefore, it's a very important issue. Bill Tweed. Pastor Bill Tweed, Jubilee Family Church, Oskaloosa, Iowa.
I'm Pastor Mike Damastis, Fort Des Moines Church of Christ. Service times are at 10 a.m. if you're wondering.
There's a lot more we'd like to do. I would be interested to know. I think that's an excellent question. I think that's an excellent question that you asked and very relevant. But I would be interested to know that where that poll came from and the statistics behind it. Were they even given the option of gay marriage or abortion as one of the options of the high of the one of the options of
did
their
you,
concerns?
Did you
is what
want
I meant
say
to say.
So.
I'd just like to address the question as well. If somebody's willing to compromise on life, you can't trust them with your money. You can't trust them with your money.
Anyone? Okay. Did you want to say something? Okay. Yes, sir.
In Iowa, there's been a debate in the legislature about a partial birth abortion bill that was defeated. It was divisive even amongst Republicans. Some Republicans wanted to limit partial birth abortion so that a well-known abortion doctor couldn't set up shop here in Iowa. There were actually Republicans, and there might be Republican pastors on the stage that came down on both sides of that issue where the other side said, no, we should never compromise, which I think we've almost heard here on the stage. Where do you come down on that issue? Do you support partial birth abortion bans in states, or should it be an all or nothing situation?
Well, I think that's referring to late-term abortion. And I think that is something that most people find anathema, and they would prefer to see it outlawed. That's a state issue, and so it's up to the people of Iowa to decide what they want to do. I only know for myself, and as President of the United States, I am 100% pro-life, and from conception till natural death, and I will stand up for the unborn and fight for the unborn. Well, it would depend what the legislation is that comes before me. Sometimes there are steps that you take to get to the point where you want to be, and it just depends on what the legislation is that comes before. But what I'm seeing all across the United States, not just in Iowa, there has never been a diminution of support for the pro-life issue. In fact, I think it's even gained ground, especially among young people. We see even more young people are more pro-life now than ever before. And I think it's not talked about, and that's why we wanted to do this press conference, because every debate that we do, and rightly so, as I said, the economy and jobs are the number one issue, but for many voters, the number one issue in their heart is, will that person, as President of the United States, stand up for the unborn? Will they stand up for marriage? What will they do for the family? Because if you read the founders, and that's one thing Brad Sherman had mentioned, that John Adams had said that our Constitution was meant for a people who are a moral and a religious people. If you look at George Washington's farewell address, he said essentially the same thing, that religion and morality are indispensable supports. Ben Franklin said the same thing. If you look at the writings of Thomas Jefferson, he also said the same thing. The founders were uniform in their belief that if we are going to be a self-governing people, meaning we have to be able to govern ourselves, we have to have a moral compass. And while the founders never believed that we all had to have the same religion, we all had to have the same faith, we all had to be the same denomination. In fact, they fought against that. They believed in the right of conscience, that people would be able to believe according to the dictates of their conscience. They did believe in morality, and they did believe in religion as a focus. And we are standing here today as part of the faith community saying, this community also has a voice, and their voice needs to be heard. Their voice needs to be recognized. And it seems like every 4 years, the faith community is told, you have to settle. Because the faith community are the ones who do the phone calls, who drop the literature, who do the emails, and then they're told, they're patted on the head and told to stand against the wall, and they're told, well, not this time. This time we have to have someone who's electable, someone who's a moderate. But I think of any year, this is the year not to settle. Because all across the United States, I hear...
Congresswoman.
All across the United States, not just from the faith community, but all across the United States, I hear that Barack Obama will be a one-term president. I think that cake has already been baked. People have made that decision that he won't have a second term. So if that is the case, my message is this. Why would we settle? Why would we settle on a moderate? Why would we settle on someone who's not clear on the issue of life, on the issue of religious liberty, on the issue of marriage between a man and a woman? If there is any election when we can have it all, it's this election. And that's what I'm hearing from the faith community, and that's why my message is don't settle. Well, we're very grateful. We have had extremely supportive, generous people. We have something like 250,000 donors to our campaign. That's a tremendous amount of donors. And our average donation is $50. So we're extremely grateful to have a broad-based level of support from people all across the country. And so we're extremely grateful for that. And even despite how difficult this economy has been, people have always continued to manage to send in money, and we're very, very careful with that money. We're very prudent. And I was flying here on a Southwest Airlines. I think I came in here on a U.S. Airways Airlines, if I remember, and someone said, well, I'm surprised you're not on a private plane. And I told them, this is exactly how I intend to run the country. I'm sitting back here in coach, and this is how I intend to run the country, in a way that I grew up understanding here in Iowa. We were frugal, we were prudent, and we never spent more money than what we took in. As President of the United States, I'll do the same thing. We won't spend more money than we take in. But in the midst of that, I just want to let it be known that I will not be forgetting these important fundamental issues of life, marriage, and family. And I want to thank the faith community for being here and backing me up today as well. So thank you again. Thank you for your time today. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you.